Louisa raked her gaze from left to right across the cinder-dusted street.
Apaches?
Don't think so.
She glanced at him, frowning.
No bodies, Injun or white. Not even a dead horse in the street. Hell, I don't even see a dead dog.
What then?
Wildfire, maybe? But it doesn't look like it came in from the country.
Prophet kept his Winchester's butt pressed to his right thigh, his index finger curled against the trigger.
Whatever it was didn't come as no surprise. I don't smell no bodies. They must all got out.
Louisa didn't appear overly comforted by Prophet's comment. As she and Prophet walked their horses down the middle of the street, approaching the town center, she continued looking around fearfully, wondering what had become of her cousin in the midst of this destruction. A whole town burned to the ground. They were 50 yards from the west end of town when Louisa turned the Pinto toward the street's left side. She drew up before a charred log hovel with chunks of only two walls standing, the sod roof lying in a heap beyond the fallen, half-burned timber door. As Prophet turned mean toward Louisa, he saw the blackened, strap-iron bars of three jail cells standing at the back of what apparently had been the jailhouse. Prophet followed Louisa's gaze down to the charred shingle protruding from beneath the jailhouse's fallen porch roof. It was a red plank, about 3 feet long. A tumbleweed had blown onto it, suspended by rubble from the roof. Louisa swung out of her saddle and stooped to pull the shingle out from beneath the tumbleweed and rubble. She scrubbed ashes from the front of the shingle, then held it up for Prophet to read what remained of County Sheriff.
Marlene's husband was sheriff.
She glanced again at the burned hulk of the jailhouse.
Now there's no reason to think he's in there.
Prophet sheathed his rifle.
He and your cousin might have pulled out with the rest of the folks. Might be holed up outside town somewhere, waiting for the cavalry patrol. We'll find them.
Frowning suddenly, Prophet turned to stare northwest over the rubble heaps. Prophet felt a sudden searing pain in his upper right arm. Before he knew what was happening, Mean and Ugly bucked suddenly.
Oh, shit!
The ground shot up to slam against Prophet's back.
Lou!
Mean and Louisa's Pinto tore westward down the burned-out town's main street, their reins bouncing along behind them. Prophet tried to suck air into his battered lungs with little success. Another large-caliber slug blasted dirt, ashes, and dried horse dung into his face from the street beside him. He blinked grit from his eyes and tried another breath, managing half a lungful. Louisa dropped to a knee beside him.
Lou, dang it, get your lazy ass up!
She aimed in the general direction from where the sniper had fired.
Get up!
I'm trying, for Christ's sakes!
Clutching his upper right arm and wincing against the grit the bullet had blown into his eyes, Prophet glanced after both horses now galloping into the western distance. Prophet's Winchester 73 snugged down in Mean and Ugly's saddle boot.
I could really use that rifle about now.
Get up!
Prophet climbed to his feet, clutching his bloody arm, and ran with Louisa back to the front of the burned-out jailhouse. They dropped to their knees behind the ruined front wall, edging looks over the fire-blackened logs toward a hill rising northwest of town.
You see him?
Saw the smoke puff on the hill. Appears to be a cemetery up there.
Sniper shooting from the cemetery.
Prophet wrapped his red neckerchief around the bloody path the bullet had carved along the back of his arm.
Seems downright disrespectful if you ask me.
No one's asking you. How's your arm?
Just a scratch.
That's what you always say.
Still kicking, ain't I?
The heavy caliber rifle hammered another shot into the side of the jailhouse with a thundering crack, splinters flying. It made the entire ruined hulk shudder. As Louisa returned fire, Prophet looked up the hill. Sure enough, crude crosses and gravestones sprouted from the hill's sage and rock-mottled shoulder near a single gnarled cottonwood tree. A small work wagon, the mule hitched to it looking around nervously, was parked in the middle of the graveyard near a spindly Mexican pinion. Smoke puffed from around the back of the wagon. Prophet thought he could see the crown of a hat poking above the wagon's far rear wheel.
You work your way to the bottom of the rise he's on.
Prophet stared over the ruins of the jailhouse and the burned-out building next door.
Keep feeding him lead. I'm gonna try working my way around behind him.
You tend your arm, I'll go.
The fall from my consarned horse hurts worse than my arm.
Prophet scrambled west along the front of the jailhouse wall.
Keep him busy, but keep your head down, girl.
Louisa squinted down the barrel of her .45.
Any more orders?
Yeah, keep an eye skinned for more shooters. I got a feeling it took more than one bushwhacking some bitch to burn this town.
Prophet bolted out from the jailhouse's front wall and across a 10-foot gap to the front of the next burned-out hulk west. Colt in his hand, gritting his teeth against the ache in his arm as well as his ribs and battered back, he made his way about 50 yards west along the street, then tramped north between a near-leveled livery barn and a brick derelict with a sign announcing Froggin' First Butchers still attached to the wall above the door. Prophet paused at the back of the ruined building and stared into the trash-littered alley beyond. Whoever the shooter was, he knew how to handle a long gun.
Ain't no Apaches I know who'd bother with a single shot Big 50.
Prophet bolted out from behind the jailhouse and, swerving left and keeping his head down, plunged into the brush and boulders beyond the alley. He turned around a partly burned chicken coop and cut into a narrow, winding ravine littered with rusted tin cans and yellowed newspapers. He followed the ravine into the slope, leaping rocks and sage shrubs and ducking under mesquite branches. As Prophet climbed out of the ravine, heading straight up the hill's steep west slope, he kept an eye out for more gunmen and hoped Louisa was doing the same. Gaining the crest, now flanking the rifleman, he worked his way back toward the thundering cracks, downslope through widely scattered cedars, cottonwoods, and pinyons. Soon, crouching, he gained the cemetery, a couple of dozen crudely chiseled stones and wood crosses fronting rock-mounded graves. Prophet wended his way through the dry, sun-blasted boneyard. Prophet paused between a cracked boulder and a large, fragrant juniper. He dropped to a knee and peered down the slope over a dozen rocky graves. The wagon sat down the slope, 30 yards away. The shooter, a big man in baggy, torn coveralls and a straw sombrero, was hunkered behind the wagon's rear wheel, his back to the upslope. The big gray mule in the traces flinched at each blast of the rifle in the man's thick arms, and also at each pill Louisa drilled into the rocks downslope of the wagon. Prophet straightened and waved his rifle. Louisa should be able to see him from this angle. When a return fire had ceased, he started down the slope, crouching and working his way around the graves. He kept his Colt aimed at the beefy sniper. He was a purposeful shooter, but gave little heed to his backside. When Prophet was 20 feet from the wagon, the shooter pulled his head away from the sharps, glaring down at it and jerking up and down on the trigger guard cocking mechanism. Prophet pressed his Colt's barrel against the back of the man's thick, sunburned neck.
That's the problem with the Big 50, I hear. You shoot too many rounds at one time, the breech block tends to gum up on you. You fork-tailed son of a bitch.